Thank you. I'm going to be lazy and sit down. You can see the screen, right? That's better than looking at me anyway. Thank you, Pastor, for that nice introduction. It's good to be with you. We always look forward to coming and spending some time with you. I thought we'd spend the Sunday school hour thinking about the election. You're probably kind of tired about hearing the election. I know I'm tired of receiving text messages asking for money. I've been getting those for now. They're asking for money because of other things going on, so I'm still getting some of those. But the political ads, it's nice to be done with those, isn't it? And this is probably the longest presidential election we've ever had in our history. It really started 4 years ago, so it's been a long haul. And it was called by President Biden, I'll say that in one of the slides, the battle for the soul of America. He actually said that in 2022. But I think that certainly is true in this case. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Now, I don't think we can say Donald Trump is righteous or the Republicans are righteous, but I do think we dodged a bullet. I think we got, I think God is showing his mercy, and we have a window now of opportunity to change America, bring America back. So let's talk about it. Let's see what it says. First of all, I'm going to give you a little report on our ministry. And if you say, well, that sounds like you did what you did the last time, you're right, because I was here earlier this year. But that's Barbara and I. I serve on the Commissioners Advisory Council, Education Commissioners Advisory Council. During the last, well, since 2015, they've been working on substantial equivalency, which is new guidelines for non-public schools. In New York, you have laws, and then that's passed by the legislature, signed by the governor. Then you have regulations. Regulations are done by bureaucrats, various departments and authorities in New York. And then guidelines as well are done by them. And this has been a big project. They had trouble. The first ones that were introduced were thrown out by the courts. The second group came through. Now they're being implemented. Every non-public school in New York is being reviewed to make sure that they're providing a substantially equivalent education. That is the law. It says every child ages 6 to 16 is afforded a substantially equivalent education. That's never been really clearly defined, but it is assumed it means math, reading, science, those kind of subjects. The issue came out because a number of graduates of Orthodox yeshivas, that's schools for Orthodox Jewish students, at age 13, they stop studying math and science and English. They have their instruction on Yiddish or Hebrew. They spend their whole day studying the Torah, the Old Testament law, Jewish philosophy, etc. So some of those graduates complain we did not receive a substantial equivalent education. So that caused the department to say, well, we need to do something about it. What do we do? And they came up with, we're going to need review the regulations, and it's taken them that long. Now our schools are being reviewed. My contribution to that is when we finally had decided that substantially equivalent education had to be provided, how do you prove that? How does the school demonstrate they're providing a substantially equivalent education? And they came up with several pathways, what they called, and I suggested that the assessments that we use are proof that a child is on grade level, and from year to year you can see he's progressing, and they agreed to that. And then I also worked to get the Iowa assessments, which our Christian schools use, approved. So it's been a successful journey so far. A little tension right now in between the council and the commissioner. One of the Jewish Orthodox groups is suing her on the whole issue. Another part is they're not getting the aid that they want, and so they're fighting. I once in a while will tell the commissioner that I'm different than anybody else sitting at the table. Everybody else has got their hand out. We just say, leave us alone. We don't want your money. Leave us alone. Let us do our thing, and God so far has given us the grace to be able to do that. I need to hurry, but Arise Ministry, you know about what we are. We preach in churches, mission conference, pastors, fellowships. The publications on the table are free. There's a few more, I think, since I was here last. You can check it out, and those are all free, and also the newsletter is free as well. I work with pastors. This is a group in northern over in Wilton, Saratoga area that met a few years ago, but there I am. And then I worked with two young men that asked me to help them prepare for the ministry. Eric and John, this was their ordination. They asked afterwards if I would continue working with them, so I consider them my Timothys. Craig Jones is the third man that has joined our group, and we've not been able to meet for the last few weeks. John is building a house, and that's all of his spare time. Both of these guys are construction workers by career, but Eric now is the lead pastor in his church, and John is his assistant, and then Craig Jones is the lead pastor at Bible Baptist Temple in Rochester, which is a bilingual church. Barb and I believe in the local church, and so we serve in our local church. In fact, we were at a funeral yesterday at Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church for one of our friends' daughter that passed away. We work with the Silver Saints, we call them. We meet once a month and have a good time together. And then, of course, we also work with Barb teaches in Awana and the Ladies' Bible Study. This semester, I've been teaching comparative religions at North Star Bible Institute as well, so we are kept rather busy, to say the least. My goal is still what it's always been. I want, at the end of life, to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I don't want to have to look at my grandchildren someday and say, I did nothing to help change America or bring it back to its original foundation. So we want to fight a good fight. We want to finish the course. I don't know how long God's going to allow me to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm 70. What are you, 77, Barb? 76. 76. I don't want to make myself older than I am. That's one of the things that happens. You get forgetful. So birthdays are kind of things you kind of forget, but I'll be 77 in January. So I'm on borrowed time. I know that. And the health could change and things can happen, and that's just the way life is. But we're trusting God to allow us to finish our course. I want to finish well. That's my goal. And then to keep the faith right up to the end. Well, President Biden said something in 2022 that I agreed with. For one time, I think in his whole life, I've agreed with him. That the election is the battle for the soul of America. Now, in one sense, it's not. It wasn't. You don't win the soul of America with an election. Okay? What the soul needs to reach to Jesus Christ. America needs to return back to God. But this was a battle. There's no question. In my mind, it was light versus darkness. You may disagree with me on that, but the things the Democratic Party stands for now are not the things they stood for my grandparents. The party has changed. We've had several leading, Robert Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard are both. Now it's Ronald Reagan before that, that's back in the 80s, said, I didn't leave the party left me. And I think that's true. So let's think about it. This was the choice we had between these two people. There were other candidates, of course, but minority parties have rarely been elected. I don't think they've ever been elected in U.S. history, except perhaps Lincoln, when there were two Democrats running against him, so he really wasn't in the minority. The end of the day, the election turned out this way. Trump got 312 Electoral College votes, and there were 226 for Kamala Harris. Now, you'll notice the way that worked. I'm not sure where the laser is. I don't even try that, I don't guess. But you can see the West Coast and the East Coast are that's the strongholds. So New York was not in. Trump did better in New York than any other presidential candidate since Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan in the 1980s versus Mondale took New York, so he won the majority. That's the last president to actually get the Electoral College vote. Constitution gives us different levels of government, as you know. We have federal government, state government, and local government, so you have three layers. And then the federal government, in order to protect the liberties of the people, have been divided. There's three branches of government, the president, the legislature, and the judicial. Now, the election of the president is done by the states, and they do that through the Electoral College. The Senate, every state has two senators, and we elect them now for 6 years. The Constitution was changed. Originally, it was the legislature that appointed the senators, and I think that was better. But today it's by popular vote, and we elect one third at a time. This year was 34. And then all members of the House of Representatives are elected. There are 435 members of the House. Now, every 10 years we have a census, and they divide the population of the United States by 435, and that's approximately how many people each congressman represents. Then they take that number and apportion it to the states based on their population. Now, it can't be even, so they do it as closely as they can. We lost. We have now, I think, 27 members of Congress. So we lost two in this last census. State level is done the same way, except both senators and assemblymen are based on the population. The population of New York is around 20 million, so they divide that by 63 senators, and then 150 members of the assembly. And always there's a fight over that. There's an independent commission in New York that does the apportionment. There's always a lawsuit because both sides want to gain the advantage, and they try to do that if they're in power. And so it's been a little confusing. Most of these districts are very large. Congressional districts are very large in New York because of the way our population is laid out. Anyway, the president won. He won the popularity vote by over 4 million by the end count. That wasn't a final count there, but he got 50% .2. So that is a majority. Most of our presidents do not get a majority. They just get most of the Electoral College vote. And she got 72 million. So you can see from that, America is still really divided. And we're divided a couple different ways. We're divided into Democrats and Republicans, but we're divided by East Coast, West Coast. The West Coast and East Coast are both liberal states, and we're in that liberal state. Congress, final vote in the Senate was 47 to 53, so Republicans gained control of the Senate. And you see the white states were where there was no election, but Senate Majority Leader is John Thune, who is somewhat of a moderate. It was kind of a surprising choice. He's not as conservative. Rick Scott is the one that probably would have been more in line with Donald Trump, but Thune has promised to work with the president in his agenda. House of Representatives, this is the last count, was 218 to 209. That doesn't add up totally because there's still, I think, six districts that are still, from this was probably nine, there's six districts that are still, they're still counting, which is absurd, and it's all in California. So those folks out there, that's a land of fruit and nuts. They don't know how to count, I guess. Anyway, they're still working on that, but that means the Republicans gain control of the House as well. And Mike Johnson will probably be elected. He is the Republican candidate. Now, the Senate rules are different than the House rules. So the House rules are, they have to wait till they take office in January to actually vote for the Speaker. And everybody votes, all Democrats, Republicans. Now, the person that usually wins is the member of that party that has the majority. The Senate, the majority party votes. So they've already settled on who their leaders are. Now, what that means is, in both houses of the Congress, every chairman of every committee will be a Republican. And the leader of each house will be a Republican. So the Republicans, if they can get their act together, should be able to pass their agenda. The problem, of course, has been they have always failed to get their act together. They disagree with each other, and sometimes they don't get anything done. That was a problem in 2016, the first Trump administration. Hopefully, it will not be a problem now. Now, the Democrats have really been, I have to confess, I've had a lot of fun watching the left melt. Yeah. I think, for the first time, November 6th, first time in my life, I watched The View. And I watched it just to see, and I could only take about 15 minutes of it, and I had to go walk away. But it's just, the sky is falling. I mean, these people are going crazy. Inquiries about how to immigrate to Australia, New Zealand, and Canada are up 5,000%. Now, in England as well. And there are a lot of people promised to leave the United States. Hannity's offered them a charter flight if they'll actually leave, but we haven't heard too many leaving yet. But it's just what rights were taken away? It's not abortion, which is what a lot of them are crying about, because that's up to the states. And if you don't like, if you're in a state that doesn't allow abortion, you come to New York. New York taxpayers will pay for your abortion. I think that's an abomination, but that is the way it is. So the whole thing is just, their whole left's response has been just nonsense. But we'll see what happens. The only guy smiling in Washington that's a Democrat is Joe Biden. Go figure. I mean, have you seen him? He came out the day after and said, hey, it'll be okay. Kamala Harris said it'll be okay. Now, these are the same people that said Trump was a fascist, a Nazi, and going to destroy liberty and democracy and all of that. Now it's all going to be okay. You wonder if he didn't kind of secretly hope that Kamala would lose, because he was treated badly by the Democratic Party. Now, that debate between him and Trump, I think he was set up. That's my opinion, because I think they knew, people around him knew he could not stand up to Trump in a debate. And now Democrats are blaming each other. They're blaming Biden for not stepping down earlier. They're blaming Kamala for running a terrible campaign, which she did. And you're seeing all kinds of, incriminations. Some are saying, Bill Clinton the other day said, we've lost the working families. And that's a problem, because they have. America rejected the progressive agenda on the election very, very totally. So anyway, it's interesting. So presidential appointments. Now, there are actually 1,200 positions that have to have Senate approval, which means this will drag into the new year for a long time, maybe all year. There are certain ones that are priorities, and sometimes they'll put them in as acting. Trump has talked about appointing them during a time the Congress is not there. He has the authority to do that, and they do take some breaks, President's holiday and some of those days off. So he could do that and make them acting directors, but otherwise it's going to take some time. The FBI will do a thorough research on each man, or background check on each man or woman that's been appointed. And that takes some time. The FBI right now may drag their feet. So that's a concern, but otherwise you'd go back. There's also 28 positions that do not require Senate approval. Advice and consent is what the Constitution says. And so that's 4,000 positions. That means a lot of people are going to be moving in and out of Washington during this time. In fact, it gets a lot bigger than that, because the majority party gets more staff than the minority party gets. And so you'll have a lot of people moving back and forth. And this is a real chaotic time in Washington. And this time right now that we're in is a critical time, because in between administrations, this is a time when enemies may feel encouraged to do things. So this is a time to really pray for America and the safety of America. Now, President-elect Trump has started naming people. He has named, I think, all 15 members now of his cabinet. Those are people that are head of departments, Department of State, Department of Defense, Department of et cetera. And the people he's selecting are people that will follow his agenda. He's definitely saying something very strongly. This is Marco Rubio. He's a popular guy in Washington, well-respected, been a senator for some time. Pete Hegseth has a military background. Whoopi Goldberg said he knows nothing about the military. However, he served 20 years in the U.S. Army. He has served in Iraq and Afghanistan and Gitmo, and has 2 Bronze Stars. They don't give those away for nothing. So he's written several books on how to reform. One of the books is The War on the Military, which he takes on this woke philosophy, the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and says they're ruining and destroying the military. He was forced out of the military because he has a cross tattoo on his chest. I don't like tattoos. I'm not endorsing that. But they said that was a racist statement, having a cross. His response was, no, that's an anti-Christian statement. And I think he's probably more right. Anyway, that should be interesting. He may have a lot of trouble getting confirmed. Bobby Kennedy is a classic liberal. He does not share the president's agenda. He does believe in abortion, which I think is unfortunate. But his main concern is making America's children safe again. He believes that the Food and Drug Administration and Center for Disease Control and all of that have been corrupted. His goal is to reform all of that and to streamline it. So we'll see what happens. Bobby Kennedy's, Duane Motley, when he worked with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom, worked with him on some projects and found him to be an honest man, even though we disagree with him on some of his politics. This is Linda McCahon. She was married to the guy who started the World Wrestling Federation. She was co-founder, I guess, considered. She does have a background in education, and her goal is to expand choice, school choice. Now, New York, we probably will not see a state program for school choice. But right now, the state formula for aid, on average, in New York, is $31,000 per year per student. Taxpayers are paying into that and then paying tuition for Christian schools or private schools, or taking their own money and time and educating their own kids. So the idea of school choice is let the parents have some of that money, of their own money, back. So that's the goal. That's the idea. But our problem in New York is political. I don't think you'll see it happen here. But a federal program could work, and you may see expansion. Trump has said he wants to do away with the Federal Department of Education. I think they could do away with that, and I think they could probably do away with the state ed and not affect education in any way. What they're talking about is, don't listen to some of the hype. What they're talking about is giving blocks of money to the state rather than the federal government giving all kinds of rules and regulations. My council meetings, advisory council meetings, usually are 2 to 3 hours. Most of the time is about more money. And part of it is the federal says one thing, the state says another, and the schools are left kind of confused. So hopefully that'll will change a little bit. This is Tom Holman. He does not have to be confirmed by the Senate. He's one of those appointees that does not have to be confirmed. And he's a tough cop. He is a tough enforcer. And they're talking about going after the illegal immigrants and deporting them, starting with those that are criminals. It just makes a lot of sense, but it's got the left going bananas. So they're not going to like him, and several governors already said, we're going to fight against it, but that is what he was for. Matt Gaetz was the first choice for attorney general, but he dropped out. He had a lot of controversy. Even a lot of Republicans didn't like him. So second choice is Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi was the attorney general in Florida. She is a tough gal. I'm getting old, so some of these appointees look like kids, don't they? Huh? Doesn't that look like a youngster? Yeah. I mean, she looks like, to me, it looks like a college kid, but she actually was 20 years or so experience as an attorney general, so she's been around for a while. Anyway, she probably will do a good job in that area, but she has a big job. That's justice, which means that controls the Justice Department, it controls the FBI, et cetera. This is something new. This is the Office of Government Efficiency, which I kind of think is an oxymoron. It's like large shrimp, military intelligence. You know, I think it's an, anyway, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk have been appointed to make the government more efficient. This has got the left going bananas, because the philosophy in Washington for a long time has been presidents come and go, but the bureaucracy's here forever. These guys are talking about going after the bureaucracy. They're talking about streamlining government. They're going to offer retirement packages to people, just like companies streamline and do that. So you could see a lot of heads roll over this one. Now, they have no authority. So some of the hype is they can't do this. They can't do it. What they can do is advise the president. And the president may be able to do this. So they'll be working with him. So don't panic. It's kind of an interesting thing. Vivek is a Muslim or a Hindu, by the way. So I was glad he didn't win for president. Well, how does New York do? Not so good. Kathy Hochul, if you thought she was going to be better than Andrew Cuomo, I think you need to read the papers a little bit. She's liberal, and she has already announced, boy, we're gonna defend LGBT rights. And President Trump has talked about LGBT. He's kind of weak in that area, actually. But we're gonna protect the illegals and all of that. She started an Empire State Freedom Initiative, so we got another bureaucratic group started to help protect us. Letitia James is our Attorney General. She is really an evil woman. Not only did she go against Trump, she is going against every one of the crisis pregnancy centers in New York. She's demanding papers, and it's a fishing expedition. Anywhere else would be thrown out. But she's going after them. She's going after New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom that I used to work with. She's going after everybody. So she is a nasty lady. How'd the election go? Well, we elected all members of the legislature. The problem is we usually re-elect the same people that were there before, so not much has changed. Senate now, there are 63 members of the Senate, 150 members of the Assembly. Here's how the election turned out. There are 41 Democrats to 22 Republicans. There are 103 Democrats to 47 Republicans. That means Democrats outnumber the Republicans 2-1. And what that means is the leader of each house is going to be a Democrat. In this case, it's Stuart Cousins for the Senate and Carl Hestie for the Assembly. That means the chairman of every committee will be a Democrat. And then every committee will be composed of the same ratio as the whole body. So that's basically 2-1 on every committee, which means it's going to be very difficult to stop bad legislation. That's what it means. Now, one advantage we have is Democrats are divided in New York. We have liberals, and then we have more liberals. So we have the liberals, more classic liberals, and then you have the progressives, which are really socialist. And that socialist number is growing in our legislature. But whenever somebody tells me about racism in New York, I point out our attorney general is a black woman, the leader of the Senate's a black woman, the leader of the Assembly's a black man. Tell me how we're prejudiced. Prejudice is around, I know that. There is racism, but give me a break. Most Americans, most New Yorkers are not prejudiced toward blacks. Now, the worst part of the election was Prop 1 passed. Proposition 1 added to the Constitution certain rights that are now protected. The rights are the ones underlined there. Ages should have been underlined there. Or I guess I did underline it. So you got the usual things, and then national origin, age, disability, creed, religion, sex, including sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, pregnancy, pregnancy outcomes, and reproductive health care and autonomy. Now, that last phrase is what the left used to sell this. We're going to guarantee a woman has a right to determine the outcome of her pregnancy. That means, folks, right up to the moment of birth. Yep. That's what it means.
That's right.
Okay. Now, the law in New York is 22 weeks. A woman can have an abortion for any reason. After 22 weeks, it has to be to save the life or health of the mother. But our attorney general interpreted that, and she's the chief legal counsel for the state, that includes mental health. So technically, we've had abortion on demand right up to the moment of birth for some time. But this puts it in the Constitution. The other part, of course, is the gender expression, et cetera. Now, Part B was the worst part, and that you didn't see on the ballot. They only summarized it. Now, there'll be a court case about that. There was one before. There'll probably be another one after. But it basically says, nothing in this section shall invalidate or prevent the adoption of any law, regulation, program, or practice that is designed to prevent or dismantle discrimination on the basis of a characteristic listed above. So the rights above can be overrode if your goal is to dismantle discrimination, that means religious freedom's on the line. They could use this, and probably the way it'll start is going after religious schools. I don't think they'll go after churches, not to start anyway. But we're waiting for the second shoe to fall. This is a bad thing, and is cause for concern for their future. So that's something we have to watch very, very carefully. What time do I need to finish? I shouldn't have asked.
About 10:20.
10:20, okay, we're still good. All right, so it did pass, and it passed by a wide margin, almost 60-40. So, you know, there were some good groups that tried to fight it, and I did things in Arise to fight it. I met with various people. There were ads bit running, but there were counter ads running as well, and the counter ads won. So I remind you that God's the one who puts people in authority. So no matter who is elected president, God's still on the throne. So I think, you know, I think God spared us. New York did not enjoy, will not enjoy all of that because of our legislature and governor. Governor's not up for re-election, by the way, until 2026. And she already has a Democrat talk about challenger, Torres. Congressman Torres is talking about challenger because they don't like her policies. So what does it mean? What does the election mean nationally? Well, it means, first of all, a reprieve. The progressive agenda that's been crammed down our throats for 4 years has been stopped in its tracks. So you have a Republican Congress that are probably going to change the Green Initiative, et cetera. We are committed in New York by 2027. All new school buses must be electric or zero emissions. We don't have the grid to do that, so they're talking about building now nuclear plants. Always before they were down on that, but they're desperate. So how will we do this? Solar and wind is not working out well for us in New York. We don't have as much wind as they thought we did, and the sun doesn't always shine. So it's not working out well. If those solar farms, you know, if those mirrors are covered with snow, they don't work. So yeah, it's not working out well. So now they're talking about nuclear energy. All new cars after 2035 must be electric. And we don't have the infrastructure, again, to support that. It just can't happen. So something has to change. Gender indoctrination, just the overall godless agenda that we've been suffering through for 4 years should be stopped. I think you'll see a restoration of a number of things. I think you'll see a restoration of America's support for Israel. It's been kind of wishy-washy for a little while. Common sense government. I don't think Trump is really a conservative, to be honest. I think he's a businessman with common sense. That's what I think, which you may think is conservative, but I understand that. But border security, I mean, one of the first things, we've got to close the border, folks. We're letting people in that we don't know who they are. Many of them have no IDs, and so they just say, my name is John Jones, okay. They fill out a form, report your time to before a judge for your asylum claim is, 2035. And then we're shipping them all over the United States. So they're in every state. Every state now is a border state. Some of the Venezuela has emptied out its prisons. We've got people coming from Iran and other places. There are 40,000 Chinese nationals that came in since a year ago, October. 40,000, almost all military age. Now, China does not have an open door policy. You can't just leave China. Okay? So why are they here? And they're coming here well-dressed and with money. And they're buying land and property near military bases. Why? I mean, we're crazy to allow this. This has been nutty. And now we may pay the price very soon. Campus tranquility. Students that riot on campus ought to be kicked out, and they'll lose all their government funds.
That's right.
I don't think you have to worry about student loans getting paid off either. A reduction of tensions. We have, already China has sent messages to Trump that we want to improve our relations and trade and things like that. Russia, Putin has announced he's willing to talk about a peace treaty with Ukraine. He also, though, Biden authorized the use of our long-range missiles for Ukraine to shoot into Russia. They did that this week. Putin's response was, this raises the more possibility of using nuclear weapons. So we still could be very close to a World War III. Some people think we're already in it. Iran, North Korea, et cetera. So I think you'll see a reduction in those areas. And in December of 21, President Trump said, America needs a savior, and it's not me. Now, one of the problems with Donald Trump is he's got a big ego. But it seems to me that God has been working on him for some time, humbling him. Now, it still comes out once in a while. I don't like his name calling of people that are against him. I don't like some of the things he says. But I do like this. America needs a savior. And then he said, it's not me, it's somebody much higher. We have a savior. Talking about Jesus Christ. So we need to pray like never before for our president-elect. We need to pray for America like never before. This is a dangerous time, as I said. The enemy, Muslims especially, like to attack during Jewish holidays. And we've got a Jewish holiday coming up, but we also have a Christian holiday coming up, and they wouldn't mind attacking then either. We already have ships in the Mediterranean that are in the Far East. They're getting shot by Houthis and others. So it's a dangerous time, but we need to remember. But again, our hope is not in who's the president.
Amen.
America needs to turn back to God. That's what needs to happen. And it's not going to happen from the White House. It's going to happen in our heart, in our house, and in our church, our churches. I hope what has happened is America has woke up. We've been on the wrong course for 4 years. It's time to stop the rush toward madness and turn around. Just like the prodigal son who one day said, he came into his own mind, it says. And she says, this is crazy. Why am I here in the pig pen when my father has bread enough to spare? So this has been madness. Our policies have been mad. We're doing stuff to destroy ourselves. So now there's a time to pray that America will turn back to the true and the living God. That's repentance. And the thing that will initiate that is revival in our churches. Revival happens in people that believe already. We need revival in order for America to genuinely be changed. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for America. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy. And oh Lord, as we started to say, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, we really can't say that the new president, the new Congress, and new legislature are righteous. But we can say they're moving in the right direction. So we pray, God, that they would come all the way and turn themselves to God. Trump said recently that maybe God spared my life that I might save America. Father, we pray that he would accomplish that goal of turning America back to you. Because only you can truly save America. Only you can make America great again. Thank you again for this church, a dynamic place, and pastors, we're thankful for them. We pray, God, your continued blessing upon this place and these people and these pastors. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've got, Mike Trott says I have a couple minutes for questions. Anybody got one? I did such a good job. You all know everything you need to know about the elections, huh?
Is candidate, his cabinet, are they going to be able
I think so. They have a record of that. The ones to watch would be Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. That's the two. Trump is committed to ending wars. So that may have an impact negatively, too. I mean, I don't know. Right now, Israel needs to wipe out Hamas. They're dedicated to the destruction of Israel. So as long as that group still has that commitment, you can't make peace with somebody who wants to kill you. You know, you can't. There's no middle ground. Only kill me halfway. Hezbollah in the north has the same kind of goal. Now the Palestinian Authority gives a less lip service to a coexistence. Two-state solution is not a good solution. Technically, there was a two-state solution in 1948 when they divided. By the British mandate, they divided into the Jewish state and the Arab state, and the Arab state is Jordan. The Jordanians don't want the Palestinians. The Syrians don't want Palestinians. The Egyptians don't want Palestinians. The border is closed between Gaza and Egypt right now. I mean, they could easily, any of those countries could absorb the number of people that are supposedly refugees, but they're not doing it. So, right now, I mean, the leadership has been killed, and there's, some of those countries are crying uncle already. So I think you'll see an end of some of those hostilities. A lot of the Arab countries would like to make peace with Israel. Israel has the best medical facilities in that part of the world. And so a lot of these rulers, including the Saudi Arabian rulers, when they need medical treatment, they go to Israel. That's not commonly known. There are 9 million citizens of Israel, 2 million of which are not Jewish. They're Christian and Arabs. Yeah, Arab Christians or Muslims. They can serve in the military. They can vote in elections, etc. So if they wanted peace, they could have it. But they have not wanted peace. They've always messed it up. So hopefully, the reason I say that is Trump is trying. Biden has interfered with Israel. Kamala Harris stuck up for the refugees and stuff. And so I think you'll see a difference. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Yeah. Our people administrations and our. So what are some of the protections they get? I know they increase the security, but they're trying to anticipate what the opposite other people could do. Yeah.
Well, right now, he has both Secret Service and military protection. So when he's traveling, the military is escorting him. He has fighter jets that are escorting him, et cetera. But it is a time we still need to pray for the president. I had a good friend that was in the Secret Service. He retired now. And he told me if a person really wants to kill somebody, there's no way to stop them totally. But they take every precaution they can. But we need to pray for the president, obviously. Secret Service really needs to be reformed. Part of the DEI that's happened is they put people in that, before that came about, most of the people in Secret Service were Special Forces. They'd go out of Special Forces and go into the Secret Service. Now they've had we're going to have diversity. So we're going to have women that are not trained in military and others that are not trained. We're going to get, homosexuals and transgenders and all of those kind of people in there. And it's, you see what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, the total failure. And then you don't know how many of the, basically a Secret Service person, the man whose daughter died, his funeral was yesterday, he was turned down for the Secret Service. He was Special Forces, was interviewed for the Secret Service, and the question was, would you take a bullet for the president? Richard Nixon was the president at the time, and he said no. So he didn't get the job because the people in the Secret Service are committed to saving that president's life, even at the cost of their own. That's quite a commitment. And so they're taking a lot of precautions, but again, for instance, the president's plane, there's a Secret Service man on that plane all the time, so nobody can get near it. You can't, I've had White House briefings before, not with the president, but we were prepared for the president. We got the vice president 1 year, and you had to turn in, I think it was 6 weeks ahead, we had to turn in our Social Security, our identity, Secret Service, our Social Security number, and had to be cleared. And then I almost didn't get in one day because whoever typed in the information in the computer left off the SN Styles. And so it just said Style, and they said, your name's not on the list. Finally, I was able to show them an ID, and they let me in. We went into a room about this size, and we sat there for a half hour before our appointment. Actually, the appointment was 9. The president come in for a half hour, vice president come in for a half hour, and the purpose of that was they're watching you. If you're acting nervous, you know, and you've gone through metal detector and all that too. So, I mean, there are a lot of precautions taken that you don't see. Whenever you see the president, you'll see people around him, men around him, and now women too. But those are a lot of them are Secret Service people, and they're scanning the crowd. They're watching for anybody that's making an odd move, and they're prepared to take action. So it's, yeah. They will receive protection as well. Usually it's the president and his family. And then the presidents who are retired and their spouses have Secret Service protection for life. So that'll continue for Biden for the rest of his life and his wife as well. Now it's reduced because it's not the same priority. But you know, that was the problem at Butler. They didn't have him on a high enough level. And the people who were there, I really did a lousy job. All right, I've run out of time, so we'll talk about revival in the home in the morning service.